particular session, I want to talk to briefly. Now, I can't exhaust it. I may take two classes. I'm going to do a good amount of reading out of this book called Apostolic Strategies, which is a book that Apostle Euler teach out of. And it gives the best way to explain the office of a pastor slash teacher, because most times a pastor will be a teacher because a shepherd looking out for the sheep. So a pastor is the one who's with the sheep on a more consistent basis. So therefore, he or she has to have the teaching gift in order to expound upon the agenda of the apostle. Now, why did I just say to expound upon the agenda of the apostle or the word of God? Number one, an apostle, remember what an apostle does? He structures doctrine. An apostle structures doctrine. So what a teacher does, a teacher is, it comes upon and expounds upon the doctrine that has been structured. Let me give you a little inside scoop, inside tip. I serve apostle, and I listen to his messages, and I get revelation because I focus on his agenda. God graces me to get revelations. I see scriptures in different ways, and I see scriptures differently because my objective and my aim and my goal is to expound on the doctrines that he is structuring. So it allows me to dig deeper and be able to explain things that he might not be able to cover. And so we working together so that we can, Ephesians 4:12, mature the saints so that he can do the work of the ministry so the body of Christ can be edified or built. And so a teacher expounds on the doctrine that has been structured. So you'll find that in this particular book, the author, Jonathan David, who is the same one that authored Alliance of Honorable Men, you will see how he compares a New Testament apostolic pastor to a current day pastor and the differences. And that's the best way for me to show you the differences in today's pastor and an apostolic pastor, or what a pastor should be doing. And so I will be doing a lot of reading because the author laid it out perfectly. And this will also teach, if you're a pastor, you'll see what kind of adjustments you need to make. See, all these things I'm talking and getting ready to talk about cannot happen unless you have an apostle in your life, because a pastor must have apostolic function. That's what I said. A pastor must have apostolic function, not pastoral function. A pastor must have apostolic function. So without, this is why the church, it seems like it's stuck and it can't go no further, because a pastor without apostolic function has to make things up as they go. That's why they have to come up with all these programs. That's why they have to come up with all these gimmicks, have to come up with all these things to keep the people engaged, because there's no apostolic function involved, no apostolic grace, meaning they don't have an agenda from God. All their teachings is from a psychological basis. It's from a behavioral, humanistic angle, when it should be from the inside out, not the outside in. And we're going to see that. So, again, I'm going to be doing a lot of reading. I want you to pay attention, because this class is going to be very important. It's going to be eye-opening to you as a pastor. To you, if you're not a pastor, if you're serving your pastor, this is going to open your eyes as to what you can expect from your pastor, what you should be expecting from your pastor, as compared to what you've been expecting in the past, because it's going to open your eyes. First difference between a pastor from today and a new apostolic pastor, because we want to be an apostolic pastor. We want apostolic pastors. So the difference between a pastor from today without an apostle as compared to a pastor with an apostolic edge. Number one, a pastor that does not have an apostolic edge will center on the needs of people as compared to an apostolic pastor that would center on God's call and purpose. Let me read. Today's pastoral role centers around the people and their needs, whereas the apostolic anointing gets the people to be centered on God's call and purpose for their lives. The apostolic anointing meets the needs of the people indirectly by, listen to this, exhorting them to pursue God's call and purposes. It allows them to create a moment, spiritual momentum inside the believer to overcome their own needs by their faith in God. Wow. This apostolic emphasis is summed up in that God bought and saved us with the price of his precious blood in order that we might be useful to him and to do his will in our lives. This emphasis draws the believers away from self to kingdom lifestyle and focus and priorities. So I will get into this probably next week, how we must shift from being self-centric Christians to being God-centric. In other words, stop being self-centered. Every scripture, the pastoral model got us focused on, every scripture in the Bible is focused on what God can do for us. When in actuality, we should be trained on what we can do for God. It's going to change your outlook on faith. Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You're going to learn that the hope in that first verse is not your hope. It's not your plans. Faith, the objective of faith is not to fulfill your will. Verse 6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But without what? Faith. It's impossible to please God. So if our faith is to please God, then in that first verse, we're going to see this. We're going to see this next week. If it's impossible for us to please God without faith, then in the first verse, that hope or that plan or future goals must be the goals of God. So essentially, Hebrews 11 and 1 says that your faith helps to bring to reality the dreams of God. So now for you to have that kind of understanding, you got to realize that the word of God is not there to fulfill your needs. The word of God is there to teach you and to give you insight on what you can do for God. And indirectly, your needs will be fulfilled. See, Matthew 6, 33, seek ye what? Yes, first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what's going to happen. All these things will be added unto you. Go to verse 32 in the sixth chapter and you'll see what things he's talking about added to you. So we see that the modern day pastor is more focused on fulfilling your needs rather than getting you to fulfill the call of God on your life. So we got to make that switch. Number two, modern day pastor is more focused on feeding people rather than training them. Today's pastoral role is to love and feed the people. Listen to this. It's to love and feed the people and they put on weight. Whereas the apostolic anointing or the apostolic pastor seeks to train the people so that they can put on muscle. The apostolic anointing challenges the people to live out their full potential and realize God's will for their lives. The people who respond to this exhortation, listen to this, the people who respond to this exhortation rise to greater effectiveness and usefulness. They develop spiritual muscles as they are trained to become useful vessels to fulfill God's plan. The apostolic anointing goes beyond the issues and assurances of love. It deals with the people by admonishing each man to become mature, Ephesians 4 and 12, and by training every man in all wisdom until every man will be able to be presented complete in Christ. Go to Colossians. I want you to see this. Go to Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians, the first chapter. Watch what it says. This is the Apostle Paul. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in who? Jesus Christ. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So the Apostle Paul is saying, we're preaching to you so that, watch, that we may present, that he, as an apostle, can present you to Christ as a mature Christian, as somebody mature in Christ. What does it mean to be mature? Let's think about your maturation process, your children's maturation process. At the beginning, you have to do things for your children, very basic things. You got to feed them. You got to clean them. You got to protect them from danger. You got to teach them how to function. There must come a time where that child begins to learn to feed themselves, begin to clean themselves, begin to protect themselves, begin to make decisions about their lives. That came from you. So a pastor has to be able to get you, start you off on milk. The Bible talks about this. Then eventually get you to strong meat so that you can function just like he or she functions in the world. That's called maturity. That's why the fivefold have been given to us as a gift from Christ, so that they can mature us, so that eventually we will get out of having to call them every time we need prayer, having to call them every time we got to make a tough decision. It's okay to do that at the beginning. It's okay to do it at the beginning. But there must be a point in your life where you're going to say, I'm going to find out what God wants in this situation by myself. It's called maturity. It's called growth. Nothing wrong with getting counsel, but counsel should just be confirmation to what God has already, golly, counsel should just be confirmation to what God has already spoken to you. Number three. Oh, this is a doozy right here. A modern day pastor performs services rather than demand performance. A modern day pastor performs services rather than demand performance of the people. Today's pastoral role takes upon itself the responsibility to perform services for the people, whereas the apostolic anointing demands the performance of the saints. The work of the ministry, to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. The apostolic issues a challenge to the people to take responsibility over their own lives and needs. The people are to choose their own destinies by making decisions to obey God's word. The apostolic anointing gets people to do things for themselves. The saints also learn to rise to provide services for the kingdom, so that they become functional members. That's every joint. Go to Ephesians 4. We got to read it. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, the maturity of the saints, for the work of the ministry, taking responsibility for your own lives, for the edifying or the building of the body of Christ, semicolon, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man, the whole body coming together, all maturing. I hope you see this. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Watch this, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Maturity will put you in a position to where you can hear other people who have not matured in the gospel, including those who claim to be fivefold, and you'll be able to see clean through them. Wow. Therefore, we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ. Watch this. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every joint supplier. every joint, not just the fivefold, but every joint supplieth. Every person in the body of Christ, every Christian should come to a level of maturity so that they are essentially carrying their own weight. When you carry your own weight, then it makes it easier to reach back and help grow others who are less mature in the body of Christ. Watch this. Watch what the Apostle Paul says. Go to 2 Corinthians. The first chapter. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Watch what the Apostle Paul says. He says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. The Apostle Paul is saying, we don't want control over your life. We don't want dominion over your life. We are only here to help you mature into this life. Because it's by your faith you're going to stand. By your assignment, you're going to stand. We're going to get to that word assignment. You're going to see how I'm interchanging it, faith and assignment. You're going to see how I interchange that word sometime, but we'll learn about that next week. The Apostle Paul is saying that we don't have dominion over your assignment or your life. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. So he don't want dominion. The fivefold should not have dominion over your life. What has happened, we have relinquished that. Let me say this. The church, I'm about to shake some. Remember I told you in the orientation how we're going to say things contrary to what religion has been saying? Here's one of them. The church is not a hospital. The church is not a hospital. Well, Dr. Leroy, why you say the church is not a hospital? I've been told the church is a hospital where hurting people come and they come in and they can heal. Okay. What hospital you know where you've walked into, if you ever been to the hospital, you've walked into and you've healed and you healed yourself? Because remember now, the modern day pastor is performing services for you. An apostolic pastor is going to demand performance from you. A modern day pastor is going to perform services for you. An apostolic pastor is going to demand performance from you. So what hospital have you walked in where you've healed yourself? So that means when the concept of the church is a hospital, it means that you are coming to church expecting the pastor to fix your problems, the pastor to give you a word that'll magically just take your situations away. Instead of preaching to you and imparting to you what you need to do to heal yourself so that you can do what God has called you to do. How does a church is a hospital coincide with Matthew 6:33? Because Matthew 6:33 is demanding performance from you. It's demanding something out of you. It's demanding something from you. So how am I coming to church for the pastor to do things for me when Matthew 6:33 is demanding something from me? I hope you catch that. The two don't coincide. The church, let's change this. The church is a training ground. The church is a training center, a place where you come to learn how to heal yourself. You come to learn how to change your life. Through faith, Hebrews 11:3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Other words, your life can be framed by the word of God that you get revelation on and apply in your life. Give you an example. You want to change your finances? What you got to do? You have to sow seed, not your pastor. You want health in your life, what you got to do? You got to get insight on what you're doing to your body to cause it to be unhealthy, not your pastor. Your pastor can lay hands on you all day. Many of y'all have been healed. Oh, yeah, the power of God will show up and heal you. But what are you doing to walk in health? See, it's something you have to do. Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The blood of Jesus has eradicated sin out of your life. But what do you have to do not to walk in sin? That's a decision you have to make. Every sin that is committed was decided to be committed. The devil ain't just jump on you. The devil ain't make you do it. You did it. So it has to be a decision. So this life that we live is should be. So if we're always trained to have services performed for us instead of demanding performance from us, come on. Then how do we mature? If you keep, I never forget Lauren, my daughter. She's 24 now, and when she was about one and a half, and we started. Chantel and I started weaning her off the pacifier. Now, what was the use of the pacifier? The pacifier was to give her something to focus on to keep her mouth shut, to keep her from crying. Instead of she couldn't drink milk all day out of the bottle, but she was so used to it, they want, you know, you get a pacifier. So she's sucking on the pacifier. She's sucking on the pacifier, and the pacifier is keeping her quiet. So we realized that we have to mature her, that she's going to learn to be able to control her emotions without her pacifier. I'll never forget. So we would take the pacifier, and she got to a point where she would get the pacifier. All of us been through this with our children. She would put the pacifier in her mouth herself. When a child begins to put the pacifier in their mouth themselves, that means it's time for them to get off the pacifier. It's time for them to mature. And I never forget it. She had learned to talk at the same time. We took the pacifier, we put it out of her reach, and she would sit on the floor, and she would say, "But she wants it. But she wants it." So she was, watch this, she was yearning for us to give her something rather than demand performance from her. Same concept. There's times when you come to church and your pastor should demand performance from you instead of providing services for you. I'm gonna say it again. There are gonna come times when you show up to church and your pastor is going to demand performance from you, not do something for you. Do you realize that the laying on the hands of the sick has become a doctrine in the church that was meant for the believer to use to reach the lost? We've made it a doctrine in the church where the fivefold lay hands on the church. In Peter, it was actually meant for the church to use, those who are in the church mature, used to lay hands on the sick who are outside the church, and they shall recover and win unto Christ. It never was supposed to be a doctrine in the church. That's what I mean about coming to church and expecting a pastor to perform services from you rather than demand performance from you. I don't think we're going to make it through all these, this particular class. Number four, a modern pastor is more focused on equipping to meet the needs rather than equipping for work of the ministry. Today's pastoral role equips the leader to act as God's agents of grace to meet the people's need, whereas the apostolic pastor or the apostolic anointing equips every believer to function effectively in the work of the ministry. I'm going to say it again. I need to read it again. The modern day pastor equips the leader to act as God's agent of grace. What I mean by that, you come into church, you expect the pastor to lay hands on you. You expect the pastor to counsel you. You expect the pastor to give you all your answers. God will not use your pastor to give you all your answers for your life. If he does that, then that means pastor has become God of your life and not him. Today's pastoral role equips the leader to act as God's agents of grace to people's needs, whereas the apostolic anointing equips every believer to function effectively in the work of the ministry. The apostolic anointing provides the, watch this, the apostolic pastor provides the word of grace, the impartation of gifts and faith for the believer to function. Your pastor is supposed to be imparting to you the revelation from God's word that will wake up gifts in your life, that will wake up the faith in your life so that you can function on your own. The apostolic impartation through the laying on of hands allows new seeds to be implanted into the yielded lives. Now, the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that is within you, that is in you by my putting on of your laying on of hands. A lot of people think that I can just get hands laid on me and everything gonna change. No, let's go deeper. Let's go to the apostolic meaning. Remember, every scripture in the Bible, you should see them from God's point of view, not your point of view. Other words, how is this scripture helping me to accomplish what God wants from me, not what God can do for me? So when you read in Timothy where he says, stir up the gift that is within you, that was put into you by the laying on of my hands, the Apostle Paul was telling Timothy, I'm going to need you to dig inside and let the gift come out in you that you have allowed me to put in you by allowing me to shape you, the putting on of my hand to shape you through my teachings, through my impartations, through you showing up constantly and allow and me demanding performance from you, not just doing things for you, not just worried about your growth, not feeding you all the time, but causing you to work so you can build muscle. You see, are you following me? So that you can do these things on your own. In other words, you stay around long enough. This is why we have church on Sundays and midweek. The purpose of that is to get you a point to where you are being shaped and molded so that gifts that God has placed on the inside of you, so the faith that God has placed on the inside of you can explode from the inside to the out. It provides the avenue for skills, talents and abilities to be transferred to others who do not have them. The apostolic mantle allows a greater flow of revelation into the lives of the people, making them well able and capable to do what God desires for them. Go to Philippians 2:13 and we're going to close here. Philippians 2:13. And next week I got 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 more to go. So that's pretty good. We did 4 this week. And we'll do 4 next week. I hope you get grabbing this. The difference between a modern day pastor and an apostolic pastor. An apostolic pastor is a pastor that is connected to an apostle that now has access to the portals of the supernatural being open, who has access to structured doctrine, who has access to the agenda, who knows the agenda of God because they're connected to an apostle, who has now, because you're apostolic pastor, your pastor's apostolic, you're an apostolic pastor, you now have authority over territorial demons and principalities. My God. Philippians 2:13, we'll close there. Philippians 2:13. Watch what it says. For it is God which worketh in you. Wait a minute. For it is God which worketh in you. The Apostle Paul is not talking to the fivefold. He's talking to the church at Philippi. That means he's talking to everybody. The pastor, all the elders, all the other leaders, all the parishioners. The Apostle Paul says, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God is working in you and through you to fulfill what he wants. So therefore, if you don't understand that, you're going to run into frustration because you come into church for the modern day pastor to feed you till you get overweight, to perform services for you, to meet your needs instead of you meeting your own needs, to center on your needs, rather than sent on God's calling and God's will to feed you rather than train you. You want to be fed. The pastor, the apostolic pastors, will be training you. Training you why? So that you can, he or she can demand performance from you. My God, I hope this, you're grabbing this. Now you understand why some pastor, see, a pastor cannot be apostolic until he or she is connected to an apostle, so that he or she will have access to all the characteristics of an apostle. I hope you're grabbing this. Will you continue next week on the next four so that you can finish, we can finish understanding the difference between a modern day pastor and an apostolic pastor? See, once again, an apostle knows the agenda of God, so he or she can begin to establish the work of God, structure heaven and earth government. A prophet goes out to those who know God, know the power of God, know the love of God, know the will, know the grace of God, or know the mercy of God, and call them back to the agenda. An evangelist goes to dark territory that has never been penetrated by the love of God, the power of God, or the mercy of God, and begins with miracle work and power like the apostle, with signs and wonders like the apostle, goes out and begins to break up the new ground. Then comes in, once they report back to the apostle, the evangelist, then the apostle can now appoint a pastor to go in to shepherd the people, yes, to teach them, to begin to mature them so that they can meet their own needs, so that they can actually become full functioning members of the body of Christ to help build the body of Christ. I hope you see how this all coming together. So next week we'll go over the last four of the difference between a modern pastor and an apostolic pastor. I'll see you then.